Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Zechariah chapter 1, all of us will read verses 18 to 21. All right, let's go. Then I raised my eyes and looked. There were four horns. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen, and I said, "What are these coming to do?" So he said, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could lift up his head. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah, scatter it." Amen. So we've been discussing business for several weeks now. Our focus has been on selling, developing our selling skills. Perhaps someone is wondering, why are we discussing selling in the church? Is that our business? We should be preaching about heaven and repentance. There's a time for preaching about those. We're not a business school. When we teach business, we teach from a strategic viewpoint and a prophetic viewpoint. Very important. God is interested in business. He's interested in the economy. And he intervenes in the economy for various reasons. Because the business world, the economy, practically undergirds every other sphere of influence. And therefore, shapes culture. Those that study how culture evolves, especially in a society, especially in a country, you know, have come to realize one of the major things that influences how people behave is the predominant ways of making money. Most people don't think about it, but consciously or unconsciously, people, you know, are able to design the best ways, the most effective ways to make money. Those ways will shape their thinking and shape their behavior, whether they speak in tongues or not. So when I want to draw people's attention to it, I ask them, what are the most effective ways of making money in Nigeria now? Okay. So, God is interested in the economy, is interested in business, because it affects practically every area of life. God is interested in business because it meets people's needs. It solves people's problems. The person that is selling food is solving the hunger problem. The one that is selling clothes and shoes and bags, solving the problem of nakedness, making people looking beautiful and presentable. The person who offers a car or bus, you know, for commercial transportation is helping to solve transportation problems. The person that sells, builds, and probably also sells houses, or the one that puts houses on rent, is solving the problem of shelter for people. The doctor that sets up a clinic is solving health problems for people. It is that fact that business creates the platform for people's lives to be touched, to be changed, to be transformed. That is why God would be interested in it. Very important. So in Luke chapter 5, we read about Peter and other fishermen who tried to catch fish, tried all night, and caught none. Jesus comes there, steps on Peter's boat, uses it, you know, to promote God's agenda, the preaching of the gospel to change people's lives, thereby, you know, activating a principle on Peter's behalf. Because if value goes from you, value will come to you. So value goes from Peter's business to God's kingdom. After preaching, then Jesus turns back to Peter and then gives him a prophetic instruction. Launch out into the deep, throw your nets for a catch. Fish rushed in, almost pulled him overboard. It was a miracle. The very place where they succeeded, the very place where they had failed, now they succeeded. Okay? But I observed something though. Whenever we have shared that story, our focus has been on Peter and his friends and how they got a breakthrough of fish. But it's more than that. See, the failure of the fishermen was the failure of all the retailers in the market that were selling fish. The fishermen would catch the fish. These retailers would come, buy the fish from them, and go sell to people in the city as food. When the fishermen failed to catch fish, it meant that when all the people from the market came, they got nothing to buy from the fishermen. Why would God be interested? Not just because he wanted to make Peter rich. It's because this guy was involved in something that was going to touch the lives of people. So it was not only Peter's breakthrough. It was the breakthrough of all the people in the surrounding cities. So they could have fish to eat. Did I hear you say amen? This is the point I'm trying to make. If we are involved in anything that will touch people's lives, add value to their lives, make their lives more beautiful, meet the needs in their lives, you can expect God to be involved in what you are doing. You've got to have a vision that is bigger than just keeping your body and soul together. It's a business, it's an opportunity for God to walk through you to touch people's lives. So back to the story that we have referred to since the beginning of the month, the widow. In 2 Kings chapter 4, whose sons were about to be taken to be slaves. Again, when we look at that story, we usually stop with the widow. God gave her a breakthrough. But observe again that the product that God gave her, the oil, was going to be used by people in the community. So there was a miracle flow, so that she could have the capacity to offer something that people needed. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you are an asset, amen, not a liability. Amen. Mm-hmm. You will not be in your community for nothing. Amen. Your being in this city, your being in this nation, or wherever you are, wherever you live, wherever you function, wherever you work, you're serving in an organization. It will not be for nothing. When Joseph entered Potiphar's house, his presence counted. When they sent him to prison, his presence counted there. In the name of Jesus, no one will ever label you a liability. Amen. Business is an opportunity to be an asset to the community, an asset to a whole nation. That is why God is interested in it. That's why we discuss it. So we discuss business not because we're business school, but from a prophetic viewpoint, because it touches people's lives. You remember 2 Kings chapter 6, when there was a famine, it was so bad that people ate the excrement from doves, and they said even that excrement was not cheap. And then people got down to boiling their children to eat. And the king was passing on the wall, on the city wall. Two women cried out to him, "Help, O king!" The king said, "Where will I get you help from? Is it from the wine press or from the threshing floor?" Government had no answer. It was the intervention of the prophet that brought it on around. And when he spoke, "Thus says the Lord, by this time tomorrow, the prices of foodstuff would have crashed. Then somebody there who was an expert said, man of God, even if God will open the windows of heaven, do you think that can happen? He was trying to insinuate that the prophet was overstepping his boundary. When your natural ability can't handle the situation anymore, the spiritual needs to intervene. There's a connection between your prophets and your prosperity. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe also his prophets, you will prosper. So we do not speak as business specialists, we speak prophetically. Because the church must be strategic. The poor man's wisdom is despised. His voice is not heard. There are things God wants to do, and he needs the resources to do them. What he needs are just people to partner with him. But if we're going to do it, our vision has to be more than getting enough just to buy 2 cars and to have a house to live in. It's got to be bigger than that. And I'm still going to come back to that. So in the passage that we read from Zechariah, you have these four horns. And these are demonic powers. These are principalities. They were attacking God's people. When you see business from the perspective that it is your opportunity to add value, make people's lives more beautiful, then you will understand why, as a Christian, Satan will attack you when you try to do business. We have this former church member a long time ago, a medical doctor, who told me the story. I went to his clinic and he was telling me it was his second clinic in Lagos. He told me how the first one shut down. It was all about events that happened in one day. They rushed someone from the community into the hospital, and within some minutes, he was dead. A short while later, they rushed the second person into the clinic. The person died. A few hours later, the third person was rushed in. The person died. 3 people in one day. That was the last time anybody stepped into that clinic. And then eventually, someone from the community, a herbalist, met him and told him what happened. It was no coincidence. We caused it. Leave this area. Okay? Leave this area. So, as a Christian, sometimes you don't realize, you know, why Satan hits you hard sometimes. Just because you are doing business, because business for you is spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare. It's a calling, it's a ministry. And it requires more than human ability. You need to be anointed to do it. Did I hear you say amen? Amen. You need to be anointed to do it because it's a platform for God to change people's lives. So if Peter and his friends are stranded, therefore, it's not only about Peter and his friends and their families. It's about the whole community that is now being deprived. Because there's some demonic activity somewhere. So Jesus stops in and then removes whatever it is, corrects it, and there's a flow of fish and there's a breakthrough. I pray, listen, God has a lot to do in this country. He has a lot to do around the world. This country will be a more beautiful place. Our world will be a more beautiful place. We will destroy the works of the devil. Did I hear you say amen? Amen? The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's his work. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Have it in abundance. So that was what was happening in Zechariah chapter 1. The four horns were scattering, were terrorizing, destroying. That's why God raised the craftsmen, the professionals, the entrepreneurs. They are anointed. He said they have been raised to come and to terrify those horns. Hallelujah. Amen. We're taking over. Amen. Just think about it. Business or the economy undergirds every area of influence that shapes culture. You want to do anything meaningful in the entertainment industry, you will need money to produce the movies. If it's sports, you need money to run a sports club. If it's science and technology or any kind of innovation, you need money to fund your ideas. If it's politics in Nigeria, and you think it's only speaking in tongues you will use to win votes, you are in for the long haul. Your road will be very long. This country, it takes money. After we have prayed, we have to match them naira for naira. If they cook amala, we prepare amala, we put begri, put every other thing with periwinkle inside it. Amen. All kinds of infrastructure. I wish some of us would understand the fact that we have a calling to make money. When we understand it, God will open the resources, He will open the doors, and we'll be amazed how easy it will be. But you have to be mature to handle it. Understand that this is more than you need to eat. We emphasize this all the time. Your life is too small to be the purpose of your life. When we understand God's purpose, when people pray for money, a lot of times they don't even understand what they're praying for. Because their prayer is selfish. James 4:3 says, you ask, you don't receive, because you ask amiss, so that you may consume it upon your loss. Only yourself you are thinking about. It's not only you God is thinking about. If you get money and you don't understand its purpose, I mean, you get it in abundance, you will self-destruct. Israel got money. All the slavery, slave work of hundreds of years, God made Egypt to pay back in one night. They left stupendously wealthy. And then they got into the wilderness or the desert. They didn't understand what the purpose of the money was. What did they do? They created an idol. They asked Aaron to help them make an idol. He said, bring your gold. And he used the gold, used the money to make an idol for them. They left God and began to worship the money. Said it was the money that brought them out of Egypt. That's it. So many people that pray for money don't understand what they are praying for. Loads of them will not come to church anymore if they get the money they're asking for. Paul said, warn those that will be rich in this world, not teach, warn. I'm telling you. So it's you, the person that does not have money thinks that getting money will solve all his problems. It creates new ones. The guy in Proverbs 30 that prayed, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, he knew what he was talking about. The two extremes have problems. Just put me in the middle. But I believe some people are going to get it. Some people are going to get it. What I just want to do is give us a broad perspective, a strategic perspective to all our discussion about business. Number one, have a kingdom agenda for your business. Have a kingdom agenda for doing business. What's God going to get out of it? How are God's purposes going to be extended? If I have the opportunity of employing 50 people, 100, 200, how is their working with me going to be an opportunity for me to shape their values, shape their behavior, so that it influences their families and eventually the whole society? What will happen if someone that has worked under me becomes a commissioner or becomes a governor or becomes a federal minister somewhere? Would I have added anything to the person's character and competence that will show in the way the person will govern? It's strategic. It's important. Okay? Have a kingdom agenda for your business. Secondly, build your personal and business brands. Build your personal and business brands. This is very critical. I don't know why the Holy Spirit has been emphasizing this so strongly on my heart. January last year, we did a whole teaching on a Sunday on branding. It's so critical. They need to know your name or the name of your business. And they need to know what it stands for, the value that they stand to derive from it. Just look around you all over the world right now. People don't patronize what they don't know. I was just obeying God and I would always be grateful that I stumbled into these things. But you don't have to stumble into them. It doesn't have to be stumbling. If you obey God, you will fulfill all the principles. He simply just said, go on radio, teach people how to succeed. And when I did, inside that obedience was the answer to questions I'd been asking him. Example, I knew God called me to teach. I knew he gave me a gift to teach. I love to teach and know to communicate, to change people's lives. The only problem was nobody was inviting me anywhere to speak. So I had to ask God one day, why don't you tell people? When churches or ministries want to organize conferences, they pray, okay, to know who their speakers will be. Why don't you tell them my name? He said, go on radio. I said, to do what? He said, teach people how to succeed. I said, how can I teach people how to succeed when I have not succeeded yet? He said, it is not your success that will give you authority to speak. It is the fact that I commanded you to do it that gives you authority to speak. Say it. I said, fine. So I took the bold faith steps, and eventually, here we were. So from the first broadcast, it was boom. Then I realized they did not invite me because they did not know me. It's amazing how we take very simple things and make them complicated in the name of being spiritual. They are not coming to your shop because they don't know the shop exists. They're not patronizing your goods because almost everybody in the city does not know that your goods exist. There's no spirit about it. They don't know. What you are supposed to do, you want angels to be doing on your behalf. They have their own assignments. If you have any opportunity to be on the media, use it. Now, what I'm talking about was 22 years ago. On February 8th, it was 22 years that the broadcast went on radio for the first time. So now they knew the name too. They knew what my message was. So if the discussion had anything to do with success, then of course the invitations began to come in. So it's not enough to have a name, it's brand value. Needs to be clear. What's your niche? What's your specialty? What do you do differently from the way others do it? People need to know. And it takes time to build a brand. It takes consistency. I've been there 22 years. Okay? And the Spirit of God tells me that new brands are coming out now. Yeah. In politics, that's the way it works. All over the world, that's what I'm seeing now. It's strong brands that people tend towards, that they vote for. God is bringing out new brands. Did I hear you say amen to that? Okay, so if you have any opportunity to be on media now, yes, for me it was radio, it's been TV. I love the fact that the media has been democratized. It's in that phone that you are holding. From you straight to the world, because you have data. And there is internet on it. We didn't have that 10 years ago. Use it. Use the Facebook. It's amazing. You spend hours on Facebook, on Twitter. You don't make kobo. You're wasting your time. What are you getting out of it? Waste. And while you stay there, they're throwing adverts at you. Throwing adverts at you. Making you an anointed consumer. Leverage it. Say whatever you have to say. Offer whatever you have to offer. But whichever way it is, if you have an opportunity, maybe to be on a radio show or TV show or whatever, push the brand. Amen. All right. And then let me add this. Manage your finances well. Learn about finances. If you are running an organization, talk to an accountant. Let them explain to you what cash flow means, what balance sheet means, what profit and loss really, really mean, what assets and liabilities mean, and all that. Number four, you must have a winning strategy. Have a strategy. You know, a strategy is simply a plan that gives you competitive advantage. In whatever your area is, find out who is number one there, who's number two, who's number three. and decide by the vision God gave you where you will be. You can't afford to run a business that has no ambition. You will fizzle out. You will fizzle out. Okay? So you've got to have ambition. Where are you going to be? In your category. The nearer you are to the top, the better for you. Because if you are somewhere way down, people will not see you. We call that positioning. Okay? Remember, this is a prophetic message. And I'm seeing 5, 10, 20 years ahead. There are people here going to do major business because this country is going to develop. Once it takes off, opportunities are going to explode. And there's people that are ready that will take advantage of them. Finally, sell well. That's what we've been discussing. Sell well. Sell well. If selling looks complicated to you, just notice the few times you've been able to persuade people easily, you know, to do something or to buy something from you. There were times when you focused on helping them. Makes it easy. Focus on helping people. Focus on helping people, persuading them to take advantage of the products and services that you offer. Isaiah 48, 17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. I stand here today in the name of Jesus Christ to receive for each one of us a fresh baptism. Amen. Of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive a flow, free flow of divine wisdom. Amen. Function in divine power. Amen. Mark 16, 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them. I declare, as you take bold steps in obedience to the Holy Spirit, those ideas he's giving you, you dare to act on them. God will walk with you. Amen. And the Lord was walking with them, confirming his word with signs. Follow it. In the name of Jesus, I terminate demonic interference in your business. Amen. I terminate demonic interference in your finances. Amen. And I prophesy signs, Amen. Miracles Amen. Will show up on your behalf. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for amazing testimonies. Somebody's been hit hard already. Satan hit you hard. But I stand here today to prophesy restoration. In the name of Jesus. Dead businesses come back to life. Closed doors are open now. In the name of Jesus. Favor comes on your business. Amen. Now prophesy you will do better than you did before. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. God's word says sin is man's greatest problem. God's word also says God has solved the problem for us, sent his son to die a shameful and a painful death on the cross. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus died on the cross. And God just wants us to ask for forgiveness. If you're that honest person who says, Pastor, my relationship with God is not okay, I want God to forgive me my sins, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? Let's pray together. It's a short prayer as we receive forgiveness from God. God removes the nature of sin from us, puts his own nature in there. That's a huge miracle. Perhaps you've even been a Christian before, said the prayer before, but you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You're not absolutely sure you will make heaven. If God forbid you have to meet God today, can you also put your hand on your heart as we pray? Let God use this as an opportunity to give you a turnaround and a fresh start. Let's pray and receive forgiveness from God. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters who have said this prayer. We know you love them and that you've forgiven them. And above all, we thank you for the miracle as you remove the nature of sin from them and put your own nature in their hearts. We thank you for this miracle of change. In Jesus' name.